Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Welcome to another episode of the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. Can we talk? Y'all know what's up. Hope that life is going well for you. Hope you're having a fabulous day. Live your best life. No matter what the world tells you, you are loved, you are amazing, and you are great. So walk in it. You guys know what to do right now. Go ahead, share the podcast. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. Do it right now. If you're on Apple, make sure you rate us a five. Rate a five on Apple. Follow us, subscribe, like, comment, share, all of that stuff. And so just as I was preparing to do today's show, as I record with my guest, I want to send a shout out to the family of Tamar Braxton. On last evening, if you guys noticed, she tried to commit suicide, is what they're saying. So allegedly is what's happening. So we want to send our prayers out and let the Braxton family know that we love them and know that suicide is not the option, people. If you are having issues out there, please talk to somebody. There is always another way. You do not have to take your own life. I promise you, things may seem bad, but it's not as bad as you think it is. You always, always have a way out. There is a way of escape, and his name is Jesus. His name is God. All you have to do is call on him, and I guarantee you he'll come through right away and right on time. So, there it is. We'll continue to pray for her. On today, I am so happy I have a guest on the show today. And I was on a panel the other day, I had to remember that, with, I can't remember, Pastor Michael Curtis, that's his name. I was on a panel, and I was asked to be on the panel like maybe 30 minutes before it came out, so that's why I had to remember the man's name, so y'all forgive me for that. You can go to my Facebook page and see the actual thing, but it was about conversations with the LGBTQ plus and the church, which y'all know there's many conversations that need to be had. And there was a couple of people responding, and I saw Apostle James Hicks. Amazing. I said, Lord, there's a man here. And I was watching his conversation in the chat, and he said, amen. So, and y'all bear with us if we're having technical difficulties. Y'all know we're all working from home, so Wi-Fi is always an issue lately. It's just acting crazy because everybody's at home. So if we bear out, y'all know to just keep listening, and we'll be right on back in there. So I want you guys to welcome to the Can We Talk show, Apostle James G. Hicks, and I want him to introduce his husband. Husband, I said it. That's right, I said it. So, and they are people of color, y'all. They're men of color. Are y'all ready for this conversation today? Welcome to the show, Pastor. Apostle, I want to keep calling you Pastor. It just
Thank you, sir. No problem. No problem. I take no offense, but I'm glad to be here. My spouse and I, my husband and I, we're glad to be here. Again, as you said, my name is Apostle J. Gennard Hicks, and my spouse is Keith Barton Hicks. I call him Prophet, and you know, that's what he walks in. That's my spouse. We've been married now for three years, been together for 5 years, been married for three, and looking for many.
Amazing. So the devil is trying to act a fool today with this Wi-Fi.
He mad, that's all.
He's trying it today, but I'm not having it. I'm not receiving it. So I just hit another button and switch to another Wi-Fi. So we ain't playing with him today. Not having it today. Not on today, because I can't have this happen today. So You guys, I know if you follow my show, which most of you do, and I read your comments and I read your inboxes, I always want to highlight same gender love, especially when it is people of color, when we have men of color, because we just don't see strong Black men of color out walking in their truths. And so I want to highlight, I want you guys to get how they met, how they started dating. I want them to tell that part so that you guys see that. And then I want them to tell you that every day is always not going to be a bed of roses. There's going to be some days I hate you and some days I don't want to roll over. Because some of y'all think y'all watch these wedding videos on Instagram from Black gay weddings that everything is just peachy king and we just in love every day. That's not true. That's not the real world. There are some days I hate you and there are some days I don't want to roll over and see you. So,
amen.
We gotta be truthful. We have to be
Come
truthful.
Come on now.
We That's have true. To be truthful because otherwise people get this warped sense of what a real relationship is. So That's we it. Have to be completely 100. So tell us how you met. Tell us how that process happened.
Well, that's interesting. As I came out finally in 2015, and later on my years, because you know, as the church teaches us that being gay or same gender loving, I love the word same gender loving, and I don't like the word homosexual because the word homosexual was put in there to just like calling the Black person the N-word. And I must say, you know, a nigger or a white person a honky. It was to degrade the same gender loving people. And it was put to, you're going to hell. So I don't love the word homosexual. It always connects to somebody being raped, somebody being killed, you know, killed, but going to hell. The evil side of same gender loving relationships. So I don't like that word. And I don't like no one calling me a homosexual because I'm not a homosexual. I'm a same gender loving man. You know, the word homosexual even as it was put in the Bible, because that's not the original word. And that's a whole nother subject. Homosexual was never in the Bible. Matter of fact, that word was just, if you look it up, I think it was created in the 1900s. To describe what they didn't like about us, you know, to describe us, just like they want to say sodomites. A sodomite is not a same gender loving person. A sodomite is a citizen of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, like Gomorrahite, yes, sodomite, Israelite. But anyway, we met in 2015. As I said, I came out in 2015. My spouse, he was already, you know, he had always been out. But when I came out, after living in sheltering my life and trying to marry over it, but after that didn't work, me and God had a discussion for about an hour. I was really almost like a nervous breakdown. And I was asking God, you know, I've done everything you told me to do. I started preaching when I was 15, and I am now 54, you know, so at that time I was what? 49, 50, and I'm saying, God, you know, I've done everything you told me to do. I've asked, you know, and you still want me to move, as I was taught, this evil from my life, and I just had it out with God. And the first thing, after I became quiet, God said to me, you know, if I wanted to change you, and that was the word that struck me. He said, the Holy Spirit said, if I wanted to change you, I couldn't even reach you, because you hid yourself so far behind people, pulpit and ministry, I couldn't even reach you. And I said, and I stopped, you know. I was like, excuse me, what did you say to me? Holy Spirit repeated it. If I wanted to change you, I couldn't because you hid yourself so far behind people, pulpit and ministry, I couldn't reach you. And I said, okay, God, I understand hiding behind people, pulpit and ministry, because I was scared. I always knew that I was same gender loving, you know, but I was scared. I was taught that was wrong. And so, you know, I hid behind those things. When I went to ministry, I was going to discuss it with my pastor, but didn't have the chance to do that. And that's a whole nother story why I didn't. But anyway, so I said, I understand. And I said, but what do you mean if you wanted to change me? You know, he says, well, I can do what you're asking me to do because I'm God. I can do anything. But that's just like changing you from black to white. And he said, you got to learn to accept yourself for how I created you. And I said, you created me like this? And that conversation spent into, I'm just talking back and forth with the Holy Spirit, dialoguing with God, and it began to change and to free my life. And so moving forward, as I began to, because I knew then that I wasn't going to just hang out there and date different ones and just sleep around. That has never been me. You know, I was saved. I gave my life to Christ since I was five. And now because I'm walking in my truth, doesn't give me an excuse to sleep with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, as they say. You know, so I said, well, how do I date? You know, I'm older. You know, I've been in a dating scene for quite some time. Well, I love to tell the story because something beautiful comes out of it. Well, the only thing I knew, I looked up and I saw Adam for Adam and some other apps and stuff like that. And you know, in our culture, most of those Adams are what they call hookup apps. You know, in our culture, most of those apps are hookup apps or those websites. But Adam for Adam had where you can write your profile and ask, do you want a relationship? Do you want a hookup? Do you want, you know, whatever. It's giving you different things that you can put. And then when your profile goes out there, it tells that. And so I put long-lasting relationship, looking to get married, and then I wrote my profile. Well, my spouse, well, he at the time, he read it, and he inboxed me. He said, are you for real? Is this true, or are you just saying that to try to hook up with somebody? And I, so he was just straightforward. And I said, no, this is for real. I said, I am a Christian. I put out there, I'm a Christian. I'm a God-fearing, loving man, Christian man, and I want to be married. And I don't believe it's wrong, and I still love God. And so he said, wow, I would like to meet you. And that started that process. But I just was reminded in the middle of that, it's so funny, even in our culture, we don't believe God is with us if we're gay. Because I even had one person inbox me and I'm said, this ain't Christian.com. He wanted a hookup. And he said, this ain't Christian.com. Yeah, this ain't Christian Mingle, because he asked me to hook up. And, you know, I had a nice picture out there. It wasn't revealing and all that. And he wanted to hook up. And I said, no, sir. He said, well, this ain't Christian.com, Mingle.com. You need to go on Mingle.com if you want. I'm like, what? And he was mad. I said, well, you inboxed me. I didn't inbox you. No, this is not just a hookup, you know, overnight thing. And so, but anyway, as I stood my ground, you know, that and he came along, and we met and we talked, and I pursued him after we met, you know, again to know one another, and as we started dating, I knew then that I wanted to marry him, and I remember
whoa,
when I first.
Before we get all the way to the marriage, I want to talk about the dating process. I want him to tell us how he wooed you, all of that. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Let's show that piece too. I want him to tell how that went for him, how he knew you were the right one for him before he said yes to will you marry me? I do. And all that. I want to know that process. Even you talk about that.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Because, see, I when I met him, like I said, when we met, you know, we talked and we started dating, I knew within myself that I wanted to marry him. And I was, you know, wooing him, trying to, You know, it was interesting. I'm glad you brought that back up, because in our dating, I wanted a Christian man. I wanted a God-fearing man. And I call myself kingdom. I call myself, you know, kingdom person. And that's a whole nother subject, because it's an American thing to be saying you're a Christian, but you hate everybody, you know? And I think you were on, like you said, I was one of the ones that were commenting, and I really wanted to put, because this is one of the things that the church do. You said, well, we love everybody. When did God tell us not to love everybody? So all of a sudden, when it comes to you being gay, it's an exception. Oh yeah, we gotta love you too. No. So I remember we were talking, I asked him, you know, do we believe in God and that? And he said, well, you know, I don't call myself a Christian. I'm not a Christian, but I love God, this and that. So we kept on talking. I said, okay. And
Christian, he didn't say he was an atheist, did he?
No, he's like, no.
Hold up here, wait a minute now.
No, he said, you know, I'm a God-fearing person. Here's what he said. He said, I don't consider myself a Christian because I'm gay. And what the church told me is that if I'm gay, I can't be a Christian. I said, what? Yeah,
getting a little worried there.
Yeah. See, I was too. So I had to ask that question when he said. So I said, okay, I understand. So I said, but you love God? He said, oh, yeah, I love God. And one day I call. No, in that same conversation, said, yeah, I love God. He said, ever since I've met you, he said, I pray for you every day. And that right there touched my heart. And I said, okay, I got the right one. He said, I know that you're a man of God. And I said, what do you mean you pray for me? He said, no, in my prayer time when I'm taking a shower, just spend time with God. He said, that's just my prayer closet when I'm showering. It feels like it's just a cleansing, and I'm praying for you, and I've been lifting you up, you know. And so I'm like, huh, well, you saying all, I said, but you won't call yourself. He said, no, and that's what we got. And he said, but I don't call myself a Christian because of what the church taught me, that, you know, I can't be a Christian if I'm gay. And I stopped him right then and there.
So wait a minute. Now, are you a church mouse, sir? Do you speak? Is there?
Yeah.
Come on in here. I need to hear your. The people need to hear. I need to hear. I need to hear you tell your side of the story. Because if they're listening right now, they don't even know you're here. They need to know your side of the story. They need to know how this man wooed you. They need to know when you looked in his eyes, when he's a one, what was it that made you respond to his profile on the app? What did it? Something.
at that time in my life, I was just fed up with, you know, all the dating apps and just all the people and just all the, I just got finished with a serious relationship, and I just wanted, you know, to meet somebody that was genuine. And so when I came across this profile, I'm like, are you for real? Like, just like he said earlier, I'm like, are you saying this to just get in people's pants, or, you know, what's really going on? Because this just seemed too good to be true. And, you know, it kind of took me a while, you know what I'm saying? And like, it wasn't as easy for me to fall in love because of all the pain.
I know there's a story. Yes, come on.
You know what I'm saying? So
come on.
There's a lot of stories.
See, and that's what the people want to hear. There's a story to tell. So you started having dialogue, and we know his story.
Right.
What was the one thing that said, okay, well, I want to take this off of the app and I want to meet him in person. What did he do to say, how did that come about? What was the thing that said, hey, I got to meet him?
Just spending time with him and just getting to know him as a person, you know, was like, okay, so I kind of dig this guy. Like, he's really cool, you know, and it's just, it took me a little bit. Now, you know, like, the more and more we spent time with each other, the more and more we went out on dates, you know, and things like that, the more and more I got to know him, the more in conversation, like him inviting me to church and just showing me God, you know, that just was like, okay, maybe this might be the one, you know? ain't nobody never showed me that. I mean, you know, it was the beginning steps, but it wasn't, you know.
Because, see, he was out a long time ago, so right. he was in the club scenes and things like that.
Club scenes being wild.
Wait, don't make it seem like the, wait, now. Let's not make it seem like the club no, is bad. Because I'm not saying the club royalty. I'm club royalty. let's not make it. I was born into the club because my father's husband owned the gay club here in the Bay Area. Oh, okay. So I was born into the club. So it wasn't like I tried to be there. I just happened to be born into it.
That's
so.
And see, let me say, because you're right. When we don't want, he was into the club scenes. And I'm glad you said it, because not all, you know, the things that especially in our culture that we do is what we quote unquote sin or bad. That's just our entertainment life, you know. And we still visit and look at things. Now I'm you know, and we have a church, and we'll get to all of that later. But going back to where we were when we first met. When he first inboxed me and said, "Are you for real?" I said, "Yeah, I'm for real." So I said, "Well, let's get a chance to meet." Well, I didn't hear from him for another month.
Whoa, so, right there. Stop. A month? What had happened?
Well, see, he worked, and that's why I asked him. So, you know, so we said, we'll talk later. I got to go.
We all work. I'm going to need y'all to come on with a better one than that.
See, that's what I said. Wait.
Well, that's 30 days. That's a long time.
It was about a month, wasn't it? Right, because I was looking for him, and he fell off. And, you know, and me, I wouldn't stay on the long. I'd keep putting my app out there. If I was getting crazy stuff, I would jump off, and, you know, then I'd put it back out there, and I'd look for him because he didn't respond. Well, see, what happened, I was taking my profile off at times, and he was taking his off. And we figured this out because he said, you know, I work at night. I got tired of all of the crazy stuff. So every now and then.
Wait a minute. You took your profile down in the midst of having a conversation with someone. You deleted your profile. Y'all both did that?
Yeah.
I had deleted my profile because I wanted somebody real. So I wanted to give him a chance. And then when I didn't hear from him, I kept going back on and looking for him. So I kept it up. Now, here's what happened. So I said, you know what? This he must have been not really wanting to meet, because I was serious about it. I didn't just want hookups. And so when I put my profile back out there again, all of a sudden he inboxes me. He said, "Hey, how you been?" I said, and you know, after you haven't heard from somebody in a while, you give them that shade. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm stuck about this part that y'all took down y'all profiles. So there is a story leading up. Like I said, there's a story leading up to how y'all got together, because y'all almost didn't get together.
We almost didn't get together, because after we had agreed to meet, and we'll say, you know, because it was, you know, at night we were talking, because I was working too, so it was the night. He said, "Well, I'll talk to you tomorrow." And we were supposed to, and he wasn't on the next day, because, you know, you can just trust everybody. I didn't. So we was going to, you know, hook back up on to, because we didn't trade numbers. And so we said, "We'll talk tomorrow." I didn't hear from him. I was on there waiting to see if he's going to come on. I didn't hear from him. And go ahead.
At that time, I was, for me, I was working graveyard shift. And so, you know, working graveyard shift, you're asleep during the day. And so I was like, you know what? I don't got time for this. People answer, they ghost you, this and that. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to delete this profile, because I still thought that this was too good to be true. I'm like, you know, this is going to be another person that's just whatever. And I just wasn't convinced yet. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm still stuck on y'all delete profiles. I'm still
stuck.
I have not deleted my profile since I have been single, and it's been some years now after my last relationship. My profile is still there. I didn't delete it.
Deactivated.
I have a bunch of dummies in my inbox all the time. I have more dummies than I know what to do with in my inbox. But that doesn't make me delete the app and not use it. I may look at their message and may not respond, but it's still there because there is that one chance. There's that one chance that somebody's going to come in my inbox and say, hey, you're the one for me. I'm still believing that. I still believe that. I thought I had one, but he was a dummy. And unfortunately, he is also a pastor. So I
I didn't want that out for me. See, and I didn't want people to think that of me. So when I was talking to him, he'll be right back. When I was talking to him and we decided, I said, okay, let me give this a chance. So I don't know if they call it deactivated, but I think I really just deleted my profile because I was going to give this a chance. Well, after I was supposed to meet him, you know, we were supposed to meet and talk. So I didn't delete it right away. So I went on there and we were supposed to talk the next day because, you know, we sat there, talked, and I, you know, the first night we were just chatting back and forth through Adam. And so we said we'll talk tomorrow. Well, when I got on there, I'm looking for him to chat and stuff like that. And of course, while you're there, other people, because your profile is active, you're getting dings and all this type of stuff. And I'm just like, oh, that's interesting. But I really wanted to give him a chance because, you know, the conversation that we had. Well,
okay, so where was the first date? Where did y'all meet at?
Well, after that month, we, because he said he works at night, because when he finally hit me back up, because it was that, in between like that month, as I went on there and he didn't answer, so I decided to entertain somebody else. You know, that was a bust, and that was a bust.
So I don't want to hear about the,
So, wait.
Where, I don't want to hear about the other person, because they didn't win the jack prize. So where did y'all meet, where was the first date? Where did y'all go? Where did you tell him you were taking him?
Oh, we didn't go in because it was, you came over, we watched the movie. That was just
we did Netflix and chill. Yes, Netflix and chill.
Yes. 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 Did we eat dinner? Yeah. No, see, because I'm a cook. And so he said, oh, because
we're talking about. Wait a minute. He told you he was a cook. Did his friend cook the food for you? And it was lukewarm when you got there? Did somebody else cook the food? Or did he actually cook the food?
He cooked the food.
Did you watch him cook it? Did you watch him?
No, I didn't watch him. No. But am I a cook? But he's a cook. Thank you.
Yeah, now down the line after he done took some classes and learned how to cook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you didn't watch him in the kitchen, we just gonna believe, yeah, that his friend snuck through the back door, passed the food through the window, got you all. It was some containers that you missed in the trash can.
No, it wasn't Uber Eats.
No, I cook. And so, after, because see, I actually turned him, because there's an age difference between us.
Okay, what's the age difference?
15 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm 54 and he's 37. And so it's like 14, 15 years. And so when I first, so after he finally got back up with me, I was happy to be on there. Like I said, it was the month that I had deleted. Then I said, you know what? I said, you know, let me just activate my thing again, my profile, see what happens. This man, I had written him off. Huh?
Stop writing him off. Y'all in this, I got to work with you. Thank God y'all got married, because y'all deactivate stuff is too much. It's too much. Lord Jesus.
Well, Chris, I was serious about him, and after I didn't hear from him, you know, I met other people on there, and they were, but so I said, well, God, because see, you got to understand me, I never, you know, wasn't back on doing all of that. So I said, you know, this is, all these folks just want to hop in the band and stuff. I said, I'm just tired of all of this. So I just shut it down. And the one day I decided to pick it back up because, you know, I said, maybe I will get, I'm going to give it another try. Because, you know, I tried, I shut Adam down. Then I went to Jack, and that's all Jack was about one night stands. I said, nah, I'm not doing that one. So,
Okay, so let's fast forward now. Because we're going to leave Jack, we're going to leave Adam, we're going to leave Gruff, Finder, all that. We're going to leave all of them. We're going to leave it alone. We're going to let all that pass. So now y'all started dating. The dating got serious. And serious led to where you decided that you two wanted to spend the rest of your lives together. Tell us about the engagement process. Tell us how you proposed. Tell us about that.
Well, for me, I started stating that in this process of us getting close, I started saying, we would come, we would see each other, we'll go out and stuff. So one day I started saying, I love you. And he just looked at me. He said, okay, thank you. And gave me a little kiss and drove on off. I said, So
he still wasn't believing it.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
I wasn't.
Because he kept saying, no, something's going to go wrong. He finally told me, because I would just call him and say, hey, we'll talk. And then, like he said, I would just say, hey, I want you to go to church with me. I was going to, at this time, I hadn't established, I was just working with other ministries at this time. And after I came out, I just kind of set to myself for a while. But then I started, one of my other ministry friends, she has a ministry, and she contacted me and she wanted me to just come help her out, you know, because I do worship, I do sound, and of course in ministry. So I said, okay, I'll come help you out. And of course everybody, you know, getting the buzzword about me at this time. So I asked him, as I was going, I said, hey, come go with me. So he decided to go, he enjoyed it. And the thing, it was so happened, the word that she ministered touched his heart. And it was about really receiving love. She had no idea what we were going through. I wasn't really sharing with anybody. I think she's the only one that knew that I was dating or, you know, meeting new people, but she didn't know how serious this was. And she just had the word that she happened to preach. And I saw, of course, I kind of figured something was going on. You know, he talked about his past relationship and it was a hurtful thing that had happened. And so when every time I would tell him I love him, he would just say, okay, thank you. And, you know, I see you tomorrow. I know, no response.
Okay, wait a minute. Stop. Explain this to, okay, thank you. Explain that to me.
There is really no explanation. I was just, what I can say was I was just real with how I felt. I mean, at that time I was like, okay, I wasn't falling. I wasn't.
He was running from it.
You know what? I guess I was running from it. You know, I was. I just. It's like it was just too good to be true. You know, like, okay, this guy's saying all this. Next week, you gonna call somebody else, or you gonna say that, you know what, I don't want to talk to you no more. I was just thinking that I was in my head about it, you know. So
you were like, okay, whatever. So, but
exactly.
So, had you always dated older guys?
I dated a few. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you said it, because when he first on out, he said, I like your profile. So, you know, we asked how old his age, because I pulled his profile up and we didn't have an age. I said, how old are you? And he said back, I said, wait a minute, I'm too old for you. He said, no, I like older guys. I like older, mature guys, because I don't like. I said, okay, but I'm not sure. And so this is after the month we had hooked back up, because now I'm giving him the shade. Because first of all, I've been looking for you, and you were supposed to meet. We didn't, and then he explained what got me. He said, no, I
Paris will.
Ooh, yeah, he said, I really apologize. He said, I work at night. And he said, so he says, I said, well, I'm talking to you now. He said, no, tonight I'm off. He said, I work the graveyard shift, 7 to 11. And see, I was working during the day, so I wasn't trying, 11 to 7. And I wasn't trying to stay up after 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, but I worked. And so we were always missing one another. So I said, okay, that's a good one. And so then when I found out how old he was, I told him I was too old for him. He said, no, I have friends your age. One of my best friends your age, a little bit older than you. I said, oh, so you date older guys. He said, well, I date older guys, but that guy that I'm telling you about, he's just a great friend of mine, and I just happen to like older people. I said, okay, and that's after that, that was our, we decided to finally meet. Moving forward, like I said, after a while, I said, you know what? I just told God, I said, God, I said, you know, I'm going to commit myself to this. And I needed specific things to have happened or had that I knew where he was, first of all, in you.
And what his relationship with you, and is he for real? Well, I saw all of that, and I also saw the hurt. But just something inside of me, because the promise that I made to myself, and I knew he was a good guy, I started reaching out first and saying, you know what, I love you, because now I think we're probably a month or two into, you know, seeing one another. And I said, hey, I love you. And he would just say, okay, thank you. And he'll just smile, you know, he'll give a kiss and say, I'll see you tomorrow. Now he was faithful about, and I must give it to him. He was faithful. He said, if I'm coming tomorrow, he would come, you know, I'll be there. Cause at the time I didn't have a car. I had, as I said, I had went through a transition in life.
And you still dated him and he didn't have no car? Boy, you good. You good. Because I ain't seen nobody that ain't got no car. You good. I am not going to be driving everywhere. So that's not happening. That's not it.
Well, but, you know, I had a license. I just didn't have a car because, you know, I had trans. Like I told you, I had come through. I had went through a divorce on the other side.
You and Uber were good friends?
Huh?
You and Uber and Lyft were good friends.
Yeah, me and Uber was good friends, yes. So,
tell us about the day you proposed. Tell us about that day.
Well, after he started, it was over time because we met in 15. Around a year later, because I told him, that was always my end goal. I had to say, where are we going with this? You know, because, you know, that was my profile. I wanted to meet somebody. I'm not just dating you to be dating you. I wanted to get married. And when I first said that, he says, I know. So I'm like, what do you mean you know? He wouldn't give an answer because basically later on he told me I was just scared.
Yeah, and for me, I just, you know, I'm not trying to put you up. I just wanted to get to know this guy, and I wanted to make sure that I was making the right choice. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it took me so long. It's like, okay, I got to figure you out. I got to learn about this, and I got to learn about your ways. I got to learn about this and that. I got to make sure that this is right for me. You know what I'm saying?
Because, and truthfully told, we know within the first 5 to 10 minutes if you are the person. If we just go, now, come on.
Come on.
Come on. The first 5 to 10 minutes of conversation, we know. I can look at you and tell, I don't waste my time with you.
Hey, come on. That's true.
There's a spark. I see something there. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to give you the chance, and I'm going to lay my heart on the line and say that I'm giving my all to you, and I'm going to date you. We knew. So you was over there sugarcoating it and ducking and dodging and doing all them extra stunts and shows, baby. It take all that long to say yes. So,
Chris, I agree with you 100%. And you know, because like I said, after I knew, after the first night that we had spent time together, and when he went home, I said, you know, like I told you, I had that talk with God, and I knew then. I said, I like this. I like where it's going. Okay. And so for him, it took, because when I first told him I love him, he thought I was crazy. He thought, like, okay, this guy's moving too fast, something ain't right. And he finally told me later on, but I knew. And I think he knew too. Well, I knew he knew, but because as he said, he has to tell you, you know, just being in past relationships. And I think you were supposed to get married in one, weren't you?
I've been told that. I've been asked to, you know, to get married.
And it didn't work out.
Wait. You were proposed to? And yeah. Did you have ring?
No. But they just told me, you know what? No, I can see myself married.
You didn't have ring on to say, I'm engaged.
See, okay.
Because so if people follow my podcast, they know I am currently engaged, but I got ghosted. So I need you to explain that part to me. Because see, I got a ring, but I don't have a fiance. So explain that part. But I got a parting gift. So
I didn't get a party gift. I just got a proposal.
And then it didn't work out. And that's what he thought I was doing when I was telling him I love you. And when I said I wanted to, you know, take it from, you know, I didn't start dating you just to date. And then,
did you bring a ring? Did you bring a ring?
Oh, yeah.
And you got down on your knee.
Oh, we're in our living room.
You got down on your knee and said, blah, 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 and all that.
My God, we were laying down.
Yeah. We were cuddling, and I think, I don't know how that happened.
No,
after he finally started saying, I love you, and he finally started saying, when he first told me, when I told him, because now he always wanted to hear from me. That's why I knew he had fell in love. And because if I didn't say it, it's like, he'll be waiting, you know, like, okay, you got something else to say. So I said, I love you. He said, okay, then he kissed me, then go on. But I noticed he wouldn't say it back. So I knew then, you know, I knew, there's something there that's blocking that. And So finally one day I said, I love you so much too. And I'm like, well, and that's what opened the dialogue. I told him, so what took you so long? Yeah. And I think one of his friends had to talk to him because they saw the change. They saw the glee in his eye. And they said, oh, okay, so who you don't met? What's going on? We don't see you no more. And they knew me and his friend, one of his best friends is in, when I said, the church world as well. So they, like I said, when I came out, me being in ministry as long as I have made a name for myself. And so a lot of people, it was a buzzword. So, but I had stayed to myself. You know how the buzzword goes around. You heard my Apostle Hickson came out, blah, 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 because I was also a part of the Church of God in Christ at one time. So I still had friends from there. And so unbeknownst to me, one of his best friends was a part of the Church of God in Christ. And so when he told him who was dating, they're like, oh, it's real, you know, you're dating who? Because he didn't know how involved I was in the church. And then after his friend told him who I was, that even scared him more. Like, okay, this man is really involved in, this ain't no, you know, Johnny come lately. And so he started telling me all of this. And so he really, really was like, okay, he's really, really serious. And so when he first, and his friend told him, was Charles that told you that? The pit running, you know, you have to tell you. That's what he said. You know, you need to quit running and face it.
Okay, your friend told you.
Well, you know, you can be honest with your friend, you know, your friends that you've been knowing. You can tell them things sometimes that you, at that time, I couldn't tell him. And so he was like, you know what, you've been dating somebody. I know you because I ain't been seeing you, you know, this and that. I've been calling you. So what's really going on? And then when I told him what was going on, he said, I already know. And then I told him who it was. He was like, oh, so you don't caught you a prime piece now. You know what I'm saying?
Prime piece.
I'm like, what do you mean? Then he asked me, how do I feel? He was honest. He was like, well, how do you feel about him? And I was like, you know what? I think I'm starting to fall in love with him. You know what I'm saying? He was like, well, you need to tell him. You know, you know how you are. You don't like to open up to people and tell them things because you don't like them to show your, you don't like to show your heart to people. So
You got a good friend.
Yeah, he's a very good friend. He kind of pushed me to, he kind of convinced me, you know what? You need to open up more. Just tell him how you really feel.
Because what he did, he read you for filth. Yes, he
right,
did.
Right, he did. Yeah. He let me have it.
He will read you. Yeah,
he read you for filth. Yes.
He did.
I like him. I like him. So now you done said yes to this proposal that it was, y'all want to say it was in the bedroom and whatnot. Yeah, okay. So tell us about the wedding. Was there a big wedding? Was there a small wedding? Was there, I don't like you, you can't come. We're going to keep this limit, or we're going to have this big, humongous wedding and everybody can come.
Well, that's very interesting. We were planning all of that, and so we decided to get during the time that we actually had met, you know, which is right in October of 2015. So we're going to get married, make that, you know, on our anniversary. And so we were planning for that. And there were still some people. His mom wasn't. Now today, she would tell you she's got two sons and she loves us both. But at that time, she was one that was always praying, you know, God to bring him out of it. You know, right. So God when she realized.
Bring you out. Yes.
And my mom, on the other hand, on the other hand, was totally opposite and very supportive and always been. His mom supports him, but she just didn't agree with same gender loving. And my mother, on the other hand, was not, you know, she knew it was God. So I told her one day, she came over. I said, Mom, I'm dating this guy. I said, I love him. She said, I can tell something was going on, because I can see it. I said, I love him. I want a man. She said, I'm right there for you. I'm right there with you. Well, we were in the midst of trying to, you know, move forward. And he just had a spare of a moment. We had looking at rings, we're going to the ring shop and, you know, trying on different rings. And so in the midst of us getting ready to purchase those, he had a different, he said, you know what? He said, let's just spontaneously, let's do it during Valentine's. I said, Valentine's? He said, yeah, I want to do it on Valentine's. And so we just switched up everything. And he says, let's just save some money. Let's just do it on Valentine's. I said, you know, and here in Florida, since gay marriage had became equal, I mean, you know, equality had became legal, a lot of folks were getting married, you know, at the courthouse and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so he said, well, I don't want to get mad that we can, but I don't want to be in the midst of everybody. But I have a friend, a pastor friend, he's Caucasian, and he's the pastor friend. And I said, you know what, he can do it. And that's one of the churches that he had visited. And
deprived of me a bit of a big wedding. I'm not gonna get no big wedding here. Y'all deprived me, and y'all done gave me
no wedding.
Oh, my little feelings.
But it was lovely. But hold on, this was amazing. So we decided to postpone all of that, and because we have a business as well as J&K Custom Made Fashion and Men's Apparel. So I make clothes. He's a stylist. Mm-hmm. So I make clothes, and so we were going to really do it, you know, make a special custom made outfits for our groomsmen, and when, you know, I had it all planned, and he decided, you know, let's do something different, and so we decided to just go out on to the beach, and you know,
nice.
so we went out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
text mom. We were getting married on the, and my pastor friend came, and now you got to understand, this is a new world, especially for me. My whole world changed, but I know I'm right. This is a new world from him, but he doesn't even have the support of his mom, you know, and there's only him and his mom and his brother, and he didn't have the support of his mom. So that I knew that was bothering them. So we just did a small, quiet thing. And we went out to the beach. But this was so amazing. My pastor friend who married us, we were going to do it on the beach. But just so happened that day, out on the beach, on the dock, it was really, really hot. And he said, oh, we need to get some shade. So you know how Florida is. It happened to be one of those days. It's like in the 90s. And he said, let's go inside the pier. There's a pier right there in the golf course. And I said, well, I didn't reserve it. He said, nobody's there. So we just went over there. There were two couples sitting there. Now you got to know Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve is outspoken, him and his husband, just outspoken. And so Pastor Steve went over there. He said, excuse me. He said, we're about to have a wedding. So it was just, I just had my mom and my best man and Pastor Steve. It was just the five of us, right? He said, we're about to have a wedding. If y'all want to stay, wonderful. If not, he said, but we're going to use this area. And of course, there were two couples there, two white couples. And one white couple said, oh, everybody said, oh, a wedding. And when they looked and saw who it was, one couple walked away. And the other couple, and that's when I said, oh, well, so, and one couple stayed and the other couple that stayed. And as we were doing the wedding, you can see them in the back. And it was the presence, and this is so real, the presence of the Lord just came in. It was the moment that I felt like heaven just opened up for us. The lady in the back, the couple in the back, they were an older couple, and I saw her, because my pastor friend, he was doing a poem, an Indian love poem, and she was reciting it with him. So afterwards, they came up to us, they were crying, they said, "Oh my God. Can you feel the, now this is an older white couple. They said, "Can you feel the presence of God? This is so beautiful." I cried through the whole thing. This love is so beautiful. This was what they were telling us. And she said, and then she said, it just took me over when the poem that your pastor read, and she said, "I know that verbatim." And she said to us, she said, "This is her and her husband said, this is our 55th wedding anniversary." And I said, "Today?" She said, "No, this is the week. We celebrate a whole week." She said, "And I bid you guys our blessing of 55 plus years."
Yes, now,
Now, Christopher, we know everybody was crying and talking and they were just celebrating. Yeah. And next thing we know, they weren't there.
Oh?
That's what we said. The next thing you know, yeah, because we were looking for an older couple. And they just disappeared.
Okay, so now, y'all been together. You've been together for 5 years. You've been married 3.
Mm-hmm.
So now his mother is apart. Yeah, I'm about to speak this into existence here. So in 2 years from now, we're gonna have another wedding. I'm correct, right? We're gonna have another wedding. And then you're going to design, you're going to style, and I'm gonna fly in for this wedding. So I'm coming for this wedding.
Okay.
Now it's time to have the big over the top wedding. So that my self can be sitting there and actually see this and be a part of this.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. His mother since then, she called us one time and she took us out to eat. My mom is Betty. She said, "Mama Betty had to get me together." and she took us out to eat and she apologized to us. And she said, "I should have been there." She said, "You're my oldest son." She said, "I apologize." She said, "Son, but just the way that I was raised, and you know, she said, "After I talked to Mama Betty," she said, I have to tell you, I was wrong. I should not have let anybody, no church, come between the moment that you're sharing, that you believe." And so, and she apologized to both.
So I had to talk to her too, because she didn't, I kind of got on there too, and I was very respectful. But I told her, I said, "Mom, you don't understand how much that meant to me for you to be there." You know what I'm saying? And you know, we had some kind of teary-eyed moments, but we eventually got it together. Just like he said, she talked to his mom, and she just kind of just let her know, like, you know, you know, he really wanted you to be there. That meant a lot for him. So for you not to come, that really hurt him, you know?
So.
Well, see, now we get a do-over. And see, you get 2 years to plan it, because we can't come out of the house. We ain't coronavirus. Right now. So you get time to plan it now.
Yeah.
And now you get the wedding of your dreams. And oh my God, these amazing people that come sing, the people to walk down the aisle with you, the people to share your love, and we all boohoo and cry and all that tissue stuff and all that.
Yes, it's a day. And something you said earlier, it is so true. Being married, it's just like any other marriage. You have your days that, you know, you're upset. You have your days that you want to, like, you know, see. And for me, because I'm older, you know, there have been those days like, "See, oh, this is why you shouldn't date young men." You know, that was me. But when we have our arguments, and but you know what? I can say this. He's brought that young strength
into our relationship, and it's just, and it has been very important because of the ministry that we have, because he has the younger view, and I have been that strength to him, and from the older view, I would say. But our relationships we've had, I would say, thank God.
Huh? I'm gonna let you slide on that one. I'm gonna let you slide on that because we the same age, and you keep calling older, and I ain't old, so you know.
I say older than he is, not old, no, by no means. I consider myself
I'm not
old.
I still feel 20, so
see.
I still live my best life. So
see, and still planning to, yeah. Yeah, you look wonderful, and we plan, and listen, we still plan to live our best life, and so it is our relationship, and I thank God for the family that I have, and I thank God for my relationship with God, because that has really strengthened our relationship. Like I said, being here in Florida, you don't find. You don't find.
No, I don't support Florida, y'all. Y'all at home, y'all know I talk about Florida because I can't live in
no red state.
It must be a blue state. We are not having it. Red is not working for me. That is evil color. I need some beautiful blue waters, some beautiful blue calm skies. I need to live where everything is accepted and open and you live your best life. Now, y'all, maybe we'll get them to move on here to California. Maybe they'll come on.
But see, we have told ourselves we're going to live our best life here in Florida. And we've had those days that, you know, you don't want to talk to one another. But me, I am a, and he is too, but I am more passionate and a lover. I'm like, if I gotta see with my back next to you, ain't no sense to me being in the bed. So that's a see. so I believe, you know, truly, your relationship, the challenges will come, but your relationship is only strong as you overcome those challenges. You know, everybody's gonna have those moments that you like you piss each other off or you make each other upset. You said something that you didn't agree with, you had a misunderstanding, that's a part of life. But when you're truly in love and you're committed to that love, you work those things out. You talk those things through.
Tell us what the future holds for you guys. Tell us what the future holds.
Any of us. Well, for us, like I said, we have a business, J&K Custom Made Fashion and Men's Apparel. We're looking to broaden that. I'm the designer as far as sewing and designing things. He's more of a stylist. He's the stylist, and he can style it. And it's amazing, you know, what he styles somebody with. You know, I can sew it, I can create it, and then they can wear it. And so we're looking to really launch that even more, maybe in the future, because right now I do a lot of things from our home here, our studio here, and you know, sooner or later we're gonna get into the brick and mortar, you know, but then we have a church building.
Power couple. Yes, a successful couple. That's what we need in this world, a successful power couple. Yes.
So you know, right now, like I said, we got some things out there. We're looking to create some more stuff. We work from clothes, accessories, so we do that. And it's funny, the one of the greatest accessories I'm doing now is masks.
So, that's where we're at right now. That's our new
you
normal.
Got it.
That is our new normal. So everything you wear must have a mask to accessorize with. So
come on now. That, you know what? We got back.
Don't sleep on it, because there's a people are charging buku money for these masks.
See, and then we have the ministry, Embrace Truth Kingdom Ministries. We do have that building. It was funny. Before we had the brick and mortar building, we would go out and feed people.
we had basically gained, you know, our church family. I was, like I said, when we got married, we were working with another ministry, I was working with other ministries, and in the midst of all of that, we met other people, and you find out that people, there's a difference between people celebrating you and tolerating you. So we had to leave those ministries who just wanted to tolerate us because of our giftings. And so so I left that, and as an apostle, like I said, being a minister, you can tell those things. You work with people, you give them a chance. They don't, and when they don't want you to walk authentically in who you are, and want you to cover up because they think it's better for the good old boys club, you don't say nothing. No, that hour is out. I'm not going to dim my light so that you can shine brighter because you think my light of being a same gender is ugly. That's something you and God are going to have to, you know, get together on. But if my works are not speaking for me, and which they were, but you would just didn't want nobody to know that we were a couple. No, we had to leave ministries like that. And but through that, we gained some great friends. And so what we started doing is just doing a lot of outreach. We put our talents together. We fed people. We were feeding the hungry and those who were in the streets. You know, we went. We were sometimes feeding 70 more people a day. On Sunday mornings, I would get up. We would get up and we would fix. A big old meal, just like I would, you know, if I was fixing for a family, but of course, it'd be a larger portion. But we would take that out to the streets and we'd feed people. Then finally, we got into the building. God bless us to get the building, and we're doing great work. Even in the midst of this coronavirus, God has given us favor with our landlords. You know, we're building, you know, because people haven't been able to come out. But I launched out when I heard God, and God told me to do it, told us to do it. We touched and agreed. And one thing I can say about Keith, you know, when he saw, because he met me doing ministry, and that's one reason why I didn't want to hide it. And his word, he said, I told God, if I'm going to marry this man, I don't want to be a hindrance to him. I want to be an addition to his life. And it just so happened, as we grew to know each other even more and more, he would have dreams about some things. I'd say, you know what? I reach 1%, let's do it. And that's, you know, we got into feeding the people and things like that. It's just been amazing. So what the future holds for us is our church ministry. We know that God is enlarging that tent, and our business, you know, God is enlarging that. We plan to put some of our original work out there. As business, you know, successful business, black men, and then of course the church. So, and the church is just not the church, you know, a Sunday morning church, but we want businesses inside the church. Yeah. So we have some plans ahead, and we're planning, and the Lord, you know, God through his grace and mercy has just given us favor to carry those things through, even as we're facing this pandemic. You know,
look, and I'm going to be right there. I'm going to be right there because I know there's more. There's more to come from y'all. So I'm going to be right there. And I'm telling y'all, I'm going to be sitting at the wedding. I'm going to be that handsome guy that y'all be like, who is that? We don't know him. You just know it's me. You'll know me.
Yeah. Because you know, you don't have to come. You're going to have to come with. Now, you know, you have to come ready.
Now, I'm naturally flawlessly beautiful, so I don't have to work hard at that. It's all natural. There's no makeup. I wake up like this. So it's all natural. I don't need no. I can walk face in any voguing competition.
Come on.
Yes, I can do it. I told you I'm club royalty. Did you
get about that part? So you wake up ready.
Wake up ready. So
that's wonderful. Go ahead, Key. What do you think the future holds for us?
Key is so quiet. He is so quiet. I mean, it's like pulling teeth.
It is. when you get to know him. Don't get him upset. Then he want, you know, when you get to know, oh, he'll talk.
Yeah, they want to cuss you out, but they don't want to tell you. So I wish peace and blessings is what I wish.
That's amen.
I wish peace and blessings.
And we know that we want to be an encouragement to other couples, and God has been blessing us to do that. We also have another venue that we're reaching out into, another part of our ministry. It's called Outspoken, and that really deals with, it's really geared toward, it's geared for everybody, but it's really geared for our Black brothers, Black, you know, same gender loving brothers. That's what we call it, Outspoken. Embracing, learning to embrace yourself, learning to embrace the relationships and the love and loving you. Yes. Because unfortunately, here and where we're at, we have a lot more. You have a lot more self-hate, a lot more hiding. And the sad thing about it, it's even more prominent in the church. That's why I'm so glad that I met you through that conversation. And so you have a lot of, we have a lot of friends who are going to churches where they're being tolerated, not celebrated. Exactly. And they've learned, well, you know, that's what God, they've learned to self-hate, you know, to endure that self-hate. And now that we're opening, we open our church, yeah, I want to pull them and others who haven't even been in ministry that to say, you know what, God loves me and celebrate me, so I can celebrate myself. You know, I can celebrate the love. I don't have to be ashamed of it. Because, you know, Christopher, we were at one ministry that we were helping. The pastor didn't mind us coming in and helping me, doing praise and worship and doing different things that sound or whatever. But he actually said to us, you know, just don't show affection. We're like, we ain't coming to church. We ain't bringing our bedroom to church. We're coming to worship. But I don't want to feel condemned if I end up grabbing his hand, walking out the door, or if I hug him throughout the service just like everybody else do. But don't think that just being same gender mean I got to bring my bedroom to church. I'm coming to church to worship. But they were so afraid, that they didn't want nobody to think that they endorsed us. So they wanted to act, you know, we couldn't sit together or stuff like that. They didn't ask us to sit.
That's why we don't attend ministries like that. Life is supposed to be lived to the best of your ability, and you are not supposed to be caught up in nobody else's foolishness.
Come on.
At the end, everybody has to answer for themselves. They will not be standing there with you, so do not let people dictate your lives. If people say something crazy, you move on. That silly girl, she wrote a song, Candy Burris, I fly above.
So, yes.
Fly above foolishness. There's no need to be.
We did. And so we've moved from one platform to the next. God just keeps taking us higher. The ministry is growing, even in the midst of this pandemic. Of course, we go there Sundays, and we're doing Facebook, you know, live streaming. So God just blessed us to hold on. And we've renovated the building, got some more stuff to do to it. God has just given us favor. And because the outreach that's in the works, because we don't believe just having a building there just for Sunday morning purposes. You know, we want to, like I said, we want to launch our Outspoken from there. And then not only that, but we have J&K. So many other things, and then we want other individuals to join in with us. So while St. Petersburg, Florida, it is what they say, more a friendly gay state or friendly city for the LGBT. Come and visit us now. Come on. It may be a red state, but you know our pride is very well celebrated here.
Jesus. 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 Okay, I'll leave our red state alone. I'm gonna leave it alone.
But we're blue here in St. Petersburg. So
Florida is still a red state.
But we're very strong here, blue and safe. And but so we're trying to, I'm trying to move the
we'll let you slide. And I guess maybe for 2021, if y'all have a pride, I will come and see what pride is all about.
Yeah, our pride is one of our biggest ones now.
Now, you can't tell me it's one of the biggest ones that I'm from San Francisco with the world's largest pride.
Well, you got there with you in San Francisco, but we rate like number two or three after that. So, so like I'm saying, we're the St. Petersburg.
We'll give y'all can have a space on the list, yeah. We'll give you one.
Now, we're not as progressive as your city has been, but we're getting it. We're getting it when it comes to the LGBT.
So y'all at home, y'all know we're going to continue to tell people to get out and vote, and we're going to tell the black folks in Florida that they need to get out and vote.
Come on.
We need to encourage them to change Florida from a red state to a blue state. So come y'all, on Florida, I need all y'all listening, register right now. Make sure when you register, you fill out everything so they cannot turn your registration form back and say something is wrong with it.
That's because
we are too close in this game right now for you to get there 2 months later and they say your registration is not valid. Please fill out everything. Take your time. This is not the time to play, because see, we're trying to make sure that everybody in red states become blue states. Because this has got to change. There's a change. I know it's coming. So I am so grateful to Apostle and his amazing partner, who is so quiet, y'all. He's so quiet.
He's here.
You know, when you do a podcast, people, y'all got to try to pull the people to talk, and I'm just like, y'all know. But y'all know, I want everybody to understand that there are some people out there who truly love each other, and I want to highlight them. So you guys will hear more from them. You will hear more from them. You will hear about their business, because I will advertise it as all that. Y'all know what I do. Y'all know what I do. So now I'm going to get my little happy tail up and get out and go get some wine, because I had to drink coffee because I recorded early in the morning with them. But now I'm off. Y'all know it's time to hit up Napa Valley, go pick up some of my wine and get a little wine in my spirit and get my little zen going on. So thank you both for being
It's your daily communion.
No, I didn't say sin. No.
Zen. Oh, what did you say?
Zin. Zen.
Oh, Zen. Okay. Zen. Okay, Zen. I thought you said
Zen.
I got you, Christopher.
Come on now.
Okay, we got boost. Yeah.
See, there you are. And that's how I stay looking young. That's how I walk face.
You come ready. That's it.
There you go. So thank you so much again, both of you. I appreciate you so much. You guys are freaking amazing. That is just
Thank you.
And we will talk again. There is more conversation to be had. I want you guys to have a blessed and highly favored day.
And we definitely, you too, my friend. It's been a blessing being here.
At home, go ahead. Remember, share the podcast right now. Remember to wash your damn hands, wear your damn mask, social distance. Coronavirus is real. It is not fake. So we'll see you all again on the next show. Love you guys.